To most Americans, the idea of arranged marriage seems foreign, old-fashioned, and very patriarchal. After all, most modern and Western women believe that they should decide on their own whom they want to spend the rest of their lives with. That said, we still carry a lot of misconceptions about what arranged marriage means for cultures that still practice it today. The new documentary, A Suitable Girl, follows three young women in India, Ritu, Dipti, and Amrita, as they navigate the matchmaking process with the help of their families. But it also shows the struggles that these educated women have when trying to negotiate their personal career goals alongside the traditional pressures to marry a man whom they don't date before tying the knot.
I was the first person from my whole family to go into a working kind of culture. But then as soon as I completed my MBA, my parents were like, no, you're not working anymore. We are just finding a groom for you.
The film was co-directed by Smriti Mundra and produced and edited by Jennifer Teixeira. And the two women joined me recently to talk about their seven-year journey to make the film. To start, I asked Smriti what the title A Suitable Girl means in Indian culture.
Women are referred to as girls until they get married. So you could be 40 and you're still referred to as a girl until you get married. The idea of a suitable girl is something that you read in matrimonial ads that is sort of discussed, you know, amongst matchmakers and families that, oh, I want to find a suitable girl for my son or things like that. So, and for people who have sort of taken issue with the way that, you know, women are commodified and spoken about, you know, within South Asian culture, it's been a very triggering term. So, that's where the title came from.
Jennifer, when you are looking at this world and the way that women meet their husbands, the whole idea of arranged marriages, how do you set aside your own beliefs in what marriage and relationship should look like and what authority women should have in that choice? And not judge the people that you were looking at because they live by different rules and have a very different culture.
That was kind of the big question when I met Smriti and decided to join this journey with her. I believe there's so many misconceptions of this world and India in general and the idea of arranged marriages. It was really quite easy to start, as we got to know these women and what they were going through, to relate to what they were going through and relate to their journeys. I feel like women in America and face a lot of the same pressures when it comes to getting married and having children. And a lot of us women have a lot of strong influence from our family members as well. And I think that was the thing that, you know, I related most to. I mean, there was definitely familial pressures and cultural pressures in my own family that I was like, oh, this isn't that much different.
Smriti, what about you? What about the misconceptions? Did you have some of your own? Do you think they're broader misconceptions that most Americans have who may be unfamiliar with the Indian culture?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I had a feeling because I was raised in the U.S., so I'm from, you know, the Indian culture. I've spent time in India, but, you know, I come from a relatively progressive family and I was, you know, raised here, you know, with Western values, so to speak. And my feeling was, OK, we're going to go to India and we actually start talking to young women. They're going to be like, no way, no more arranged marriage. This institution is going, you know, out. We really went into this thinking we're going to be capturing sort of the last of this institution, this sort of dying institution in a sense. And that was not what we found. By and large, young people still believe in and ascribe to the system of arranged marriage. And what it is, I mean, it's such a sort of ominous thing to say the system or institution of arranged marriage. But all it really is just involving your family in the decision-making of finding a spouse. And the value set that it speaks to is just slightly different than what we look for in the West, where it's more sort of based on family and community and less on individual wants and needs. What I found is that young people still want their families involved. They still want to sort of fit within that community structure, but they want to make some space for their own wants and needs.
Right. I'm going to ask you about one scene where a prospective husband is visiting a potential wife, yeah, and the woman's father says this of her. Other than her job or some work function, she doesn't really go anywhere. After school, she comes right back home. She doesn't have many friends either. This is his sales pitch to this guy, that this is the kind of woman that he has raised. What is it like to witness that, and how representative of the culture do you think that conversation is?
You know, in regards to what Deepthi's dad said, you know, about her, he was speaking to this idea, this concept of homeliness. And that has a different meaning in India than, you know, it does here. Over here, it's sort of referencing people's looks. But in India, that means that her focus is on the home. Her attention is on the home. She wants to be married. She wants to have children. And in some ways, it's almost a response to this sort of mounting discomfort that young women, you know, have demonstrated en masse, like, you know, these patriarchal ideas. So he's sort of reassuring that, no, don't worry. She's not that type of girl. She really wants to be married. She wants to focus on her family and have children and do those things. Her father was struggling immensely with the idea of letting her go because that's his only child. And, you know, they are so close. So when he was presenting her in that way to a prospective groom, he was speaking about her as a treasure in the terms that the groom would appreciate.
We're talking with Smriti Mundra and Jennifer Teixeira. Their new film is called A Suitable Girl. How did you go about figuring out who you wanted to follow, and how did you gain their trust so that you could watch these very intimate moments in their lives?
I had a prior relationship with Seema. She was my matchmaker, actually, before all of this film stuff started. And so I had a prior relationship with her. And so there was like sort of an inherent sort of trust. She's part of my community and very known to my family. We sort of stepped into each scenario, you know, and then sort of started gaining trust and kind of getting more access and more access. But with Seema and Ritu, it was really like my relationship with Seema. And Seema was very eager to sort of have us, you know, document her business and her, you know, lifestyle and everything. And then, but we kind of knew the real story was with her and her daughter. So we really kind of worked to try to get access. And, you know, her daughter Ritu was very reluctant initially, you know, to film with us and open herself up to us. But by the end of it, it was remarkable. She was either forgot we were there or she was able to kind of communicate things through us that she couldn't with other members of her family. We kind of became this intermediary, I think, you know, between like these girls and their families, because they could talk to us about things that they couldn't talk to their families about. And, you know, the more kind of comfortable they got, the more present we were, the more they opened up.
You said something. You're a former client of the matchmaker. What does that mean?
Okay, so
You can't close that door.
I am, in case you can't tell, an Indian-American woman.
And I think you're blushing a tiny bit, so it's radio, but keep going.
This whole process started from a very personal place. Sarita and I were Indian women. We were kind of in our late 20s, 30s, you know, when we were in film school, and the pressure was mounting for both of us to get married. My last year of graduate school, I had, you know, broken up with a boyfriend who was sort of the suitable boy, you know, kind of great on paper and, you know, who I thought I was going to marry. And after that, I think I was 28 when that relationship ended. And I didn't realize how much of that sort of you have to get married before you're 30 and all of that stuff I had internalized because I went into a panic. You know, I was like, I'm 28, I'm not married. All of the stuff that I'd heard through my entire life just came bearing down on me. I told my mom within 48 hours she was in New York City in my apartment. She had Shaadi.com, the Indian matrimonial site, open. We were making my profile, and she said, don't worry. She's like, I'm going to handle this. And she's like, I'm going to cast a wide net, full APB. I had a matrimonial ad in the newspaper. I was meeting with matchmakers. I was doing the online matrimonial website stuff. I mean, I went on 100 of these sort of awkward coffee dates, you know? And that's sort of where my kind of curiosity to really explore this in a documentary came from, because actually, the experience, I was torn because on one hand, I met a lot of really interesting people. It wasn't that I did not meet my husband that way, but I did meet a lot
of
interesting.
So it didn't work out.
It didn't quite work out
for
me.
Your mom struck out.
But I will admit that it was my own bias against this system that was the reason it didn't work out for me in that way.
Let me ask you both this. When you watched the film The Big Sick, what did you think about the way that that movie depicted arranged marriages?
I think that's a great—I love that film, and it was their story. And, you know, I think I told a version of my story in this film, and I think they did the same. But I did have an issue with the way they depicted arranged marriages, and particularly South Asian women in that film. It was a very one-dimensional sort of portrayal. And, you know, I've said this also about, you know, shows like Master of None and other films like Meet the Patels, where when these stories are told from the male perspective, you get a very one-dimensional view of South Asian women that we also, that's all we want is to get married, you know? And to some degree, a lot of us have internalized, you know, that messaging from when we were younger, but the truth is much more complex. And that's what we try to really portray in our film, is that, you know, we are also sort of bound by culture and tradition, you know, we are also trying to do the best we can, you know, to be good daughters to our parents and not, you know, sort of fall off of, you know, the ledge of society. So to see South Asian women and the idea of arranged marriage presented in such a harsh light was disappointing to me. And I felt it was, you know, it was comedic. But, you know, I think we made this film because we were tired of being the butt of the joke.
Smriti Mundra is the director and producer of A Suitable Girl. Jennifer Teixeira is the producer and editor of the film. Jennifer and Smriti, thanks so much for coming in.
Oh, thank you
so much. Thank you.
A Suitable Girl is available now on Amazon Prime and iTunes.